Hello, this is From Our Own Correspondent, a download from the BBC. For a sneak preview of our programme, you can join our feed on Twitter. And there's a daily airing of From Our Own Correspondent on the BBC World Service. But now, the latest edition, as broadcast on BBC Radio 4, and it's introduced by Kate Adey.
Now, it may not make the news as much as it used to, but the violence in Afghanistan hasn't gone away. And in this climate, it's brave indeed of people to talk about boosting tourism there. And yet they do. Recently, tour operators got together with investors and media people to see what could be done to attract more visitors to the relatively peaceful northeast of the country. There was much talk of the majestic beauty of the Hindu Kush and Pamir Mountains. John Pilkington's been finding out that a corner of that part of the country, known as the Wakhan Corridor, also offers opportunities. The Taliban never gained a footing there, and there's already a trickle of foreign visitors to a place John describes as a little Shangri-La.
High in the Pamir Mountains, Afghanistan meets its northern neighbour Tajikistan on the banks of the thundering Panj River. For most of the last century, this marked the southern limit of Soviet Central Asia, and there's still an outpost in the form of a Russian-speaking village with a single narrow bridge across the river. I crossed that bridge and stepped back 100 years. On the Tajik side were cars, electric lights, piped water and central heating. On the Afghan side, donkeys, candles, water buckets and smoky yak dung fires. From here, a finger of Afghanistan goes east for 200 miles, separating Tajikistan from Pakistan. This is the so-called Wakhan Corridor, a relic of the 19th century Great Game between Britain and Russia. It leads to the High Pamir, where four separate mountain ranges come together in a tangle of peaks and glaciers. These are the lands of the Wakhi and the Kyrgyz. The Wakhi live in rough stone houses. The Kyrgyz are semi-nomadic and prefer big round tents, which they call yurts. In the lower valleys, I found the Wakhi busy harvesting the all-important barley crop. Higher up, the Kyrgyz were leading sheep and yaks across endless mountainsides, making the most of the summer pasture. Apart from these shepherds with their animals, the only creatures you see in the high valleys are marmots, vultures, and, if you're really lucky, a faraway glimpse of a snow leopard. I can't speak either Wakhi or Kyrgyz, so I found myself an interpreter called Yar Muhammad, and he, in turn, came up with two splendid horsemen, Shogun and Amin Bek. I'd brought a tent and was intending to be self-sufficient, but in all the villages, people instantly came out to greet us with rounds of bread and bowl after bowl of freshly made yak's milk yoghurt. I was aiming for a place called Bozai Gumbaz and an appointment with a famous British character from the days of the Raj. In 1891, Captain Francis Younghusband was arrested by Cossacks here and frog-marched out of what they said was now part of Russia. In London, this seemed horribly like the prelude to an invasion of British India. In the end, there was no invasion and no war. But this so-called Pamir incident led directly to the peculiar boundaries that we see today, with the Wakhan Corridor made part of Afghanistan to prevent British and Russian forces from ever again having to meet. I wanted to mark the 120th anniversary of the incident by giving a nod and a wink to the officers involved, who actually behaved with impeccable courtesy all round. The Cossacks even gave Younghusband a haunch of venison. But crossing the river to Bozai Gumbaz, I somehow managed to fall off my horse. One moment it was wading happily across, the next it was on its knees and I was tumbling over its head. Luckily my foot caught in one of the stirrups, so instead of being swept away, I was dragged, foot first, through the freezing water and dumped on the far bank. Back in Ishkashim, the tiny town at the corridor's entrance, I recovered in a little guest house with the razzmatazz of the bazaar nearby. Ishkashim is no Kathmandu, but its people are working hard to make things easier for visitors, and they'd like to welcome more of us. Adab Shah, who has just started up a travel company, told me the main problem is getting people up into the corridor. It's expensive and very uncomfortable because the road is so bad. Well, I'd bounced and jolted up that road myself, and I'd say his assessment is spot on. But roadworks apart, what are the chances that this unlikely experiment will succeed against all the odds? It'll depend, of course, like so much in Afghanistan, on what happens after most of the NATO forces depart, probably in 2014. So, if you enjoy mountains, and if you've got a taste for yak's milk yoghurt, I'd say go while you can.